The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, but since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
There are two things to be said at the beginning of this sermon about the parable of the sower. The first is about the nature of parables. Many people think that parables are sort of simple moral stories that help us to understand something that Jesus is talking about. As anyone in our Wednesday night Bible study can tell you, though, that's not how parables work. Parables actually end up being quite the opposite of clarifying. They throw the readers into a sense of chaos and confusion before there is any clarity. That's exactly what the point of parables is. Part of the scripture in Matthew that is skipped over in our reading today says that Jesus speaks in parables so that the people may see and not see, hear and not comprehend. The point, then, of the parables is not to help us understand some complicated idea, but it's to put us into some sort of internal conflict. In fact, if we come away from a parable right off the bat and say, "Oh, yeah, I get that," then chances are, I don't get that. I'm seeing without seeing and hearing without comprehending. We're probably reading the parable with the same kind of long-standing understandings that we've always had about Jesus and God. But parables are meant to draw us away from our usual way of thinking about things into a kind of turmoil that leads to seeing things in a new way. So keep that in mind when we think about this parable and all the parables. And the next thing that I want to talk about is that there's this interesting little thing, which is that, speaking of soil in the parable, that we should all be aware that good soil is only good insofar as there is a generous amount of organic matter in it, dead stuff, whether it's plants, insects, small animals, all of that goes into making soil good. And I want us to keep that in mind as we ponder the parable of the sower and the seed. Good soil has a lot of dead stuff in it. The parable of the sower often offers us plenty of opportunity to let go of, to die to some of the things that we hold dear. First of all, it invites us to die to the idea that we, the church, we believers, are the good soil mentioned in the parable. Well, maybe we are and maybe we aren't. That vexing parable I told to the children must give us pause. On one level, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the Pharisee, the priest, who goes thankfully into the temple and thanks God that he's not an extorter or an adulterer or a thief or whatever. He might even be saying, "There but for the grace of God go I," when he looks at the tax collector. So on one level, we look at that and we say, well, of course he's doing fine. But then Jesus asks, who goes away righteous in the eyes of God? Is it this Pharisee or is it the tax collector who simply says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner"? Who are we in that parable? And are we really the good soil? Is this guy, the priest, the Pharisee representing us, is he really the good soil? So maybe that's an idea that we need to let go of, that we are always the ones who are the good soil. We in the church who pray and who give and all of those things. It makes you pause. And related to the first thing that we maybe need to die to is that the idea that we are judges, the good judge of who is good soil and who is not. And if Jesus in this parable is asking me to die to my judgments about who is good soil and who is not, then I say Jesus has gone from preaching to meddling. I have, in fact, been very clear about who is good soil and who is definitely not. All I have to do is to enter into the county jail in Wenatchee to see some of the rockiest soil around. Twice a month on Thursday nights, Daddy and I would go into the jail to offer a Bible study. Now, our Bible study was not exactly what they're used to, for sure. And the first thing we did was to ask each person to think for a minute about someone for whom they would like us to pray. Wait, no, that's not exactly true. The first thing that happened was that I noticed what rocky soil came into the room for this Bible study. You see, every time we go in, there is this sort of ritual testing. Guys enter the room with an attitude. Maybe they just offhandedly cuss. Maybe they're standoffish, whatever. In my early days of going to the jail, I was sure that the guys coming into the Bible study were not good soil. They were there maybe because they were bored to tears, maybe because there was no Thursday night football on TV, or maybe because their cell had lost TV privileges for the week. Anyway, in they came with that attitude that was saying, "I don't want to have anything to do with this." When I encountered that, I wondered if the ride to Wenatchee and the time with these guys was justified. But then we got to hear what was on their hearts, and they got to hear what was on our hearts. And we all prayed together, each for one another. And by the time the praying was done, it was clear that the rocky soil that these guys represented in my mind had become softer, milder, more humble. Humble, close to the earth, humus, soil. The tough, testing, maybe bored facade melted, died right before our eyes. They were ready and receptive to the word that we shared together. And interestingly, so much of the scripture is written precisely for people like them, jailed, alienated, lost, excluded. They, in many ways, are the very ones who are able to see, to really see, to hear, and to really comprehend what Jesus is up to in the parables and in his life and death. So there go the parables. There goes the scripture meddling with my life once again, messing with the way I think the world is set up. I'm the pastor. I'm the priest. They are the criminals. I know good soil when I see it. Well, no, it ends up I don't. It ends up just as many, as often as not, I'm the rocky soil in this continued interaction with these guys. I'm the one who woefully misjudges the soil. It's my arrogance that must die to make good soil. And all of this leads to the next and I think most important thing to which I must die, and that is the long-held and insistent image of God as the one who grants us good things because we are the receptive good soil. This parable invites us to see that God is not a careful, well-grooming farmer who tends to the good soil like us because, well, because we are so full of promise and so receptive to the graceful word of God. Not so in the parable. In this parable, the sower, this wild sower, throws out word and seed and promise willy-nilly on all types of surfaces and soils. It looks, in fact, quite irresponsible when you look at it. But listen, when we first read this parable, when we first read this parable in the Bible study on Wednesday nights, Bill Schultz, who is no longer with us in body but very much in spirit, offered with great enthusiasm about the sower, "This guy's not being paid by the hour, he's getting paid by the seed bag." In 30 years of ministry, I had never heard anyone say anything as clear and true about this parable as that. I said, man, biblical scholars would give their eye teeth for insights like that. This is a delicious image of God. God does not get paid by the hour. God does not have to be and is not discriminating about where and to whom the word and the promise goes. It will go to any corner of the farm, any place on earth that gravity works. Throwing out the seed of the word without thinking twice about good, rocky, hard, or thorny soil. As a matter of fact, throughout the Gospels, there are specific examples of rocky and thorny and ground and paths. The truth is that there are precious few examples of good soil in the Gospels of Jesus. The rich young man comes to Jesus and asks about life, and Jesus tells him to give away everything he has and come and follow, and he will have life. And the distractions of the world are too much for the rich man, and he goes away sad because he had many possessions. There are others who hear the word and grow quickly, but in the end, they can't sustain because persecutions come and everybody betrays and denies and runs away when Jesus is in trouble, when persecution happens. There aren't really good examples in the scriptures of what we call good soil. There is only one who eventually is lowered into the ground like a seed that dies and then brings forth from the soil new life. That one then, being raised up out of the soil, invites us to also let go of our life, our sense of how the world works, who is in, who is out, who is good, who is not good soil, and to let that which dies within us become the nourishment that creates good soil. And so let us rejoice that we are so often wrong in our judgments of who is and who is not good soil, who is and who is not justified. Letting go of those, dying to those, will only bring richness to our soil. And let us most triumphantly rejoice that God is no respecter of the goodness of soil. God is not paid by the hour. God's paid by the feed bag. God will sow seeds anywhere, even in us.